a test about our sonship all through the book, several tests, and also tests about our fellowship, if you in fellowship with the Lord. See, sonship can never be broken, but fellowship can be broken. But the test of salvation, it comes in several different tests as we've been studying this book. It comes in light or either darkness. It tells us about light and darkness. That's a test of salvation. It tells about life and death, and that's certainly a test of salvation. If you're saved, you're alive forevermore. No, we're not talking about these bodies, but if you're lost, you are dead. But we have this word love. This word love. Love. Oh, John keeps going back to this word. Let's read these verses before my throat gets completely stopped up tonight. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Again, let us go to the Lord in thanksgiving. Father, we just praise your precious name this hour. Oh, Father, how great it is, Father, to look out and see your people, Lord. Lord, have time to turn from their work of a busy day, and even those that don't feel real good, but come out and be a part of the worship service and worshiping you and praising the name of Jesus Christ. To look out upon their life and see how that you have blessed them and how you deserve our presence tonight on Wednesday and how you deserve our presence on Sunday in our Sunday school and also our evening services on Sunday. Father, we thank you and praise you. Each time we come together, Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we honor you here. We just praise your name for what you have been doing in the lives of the place here. It's called Pleasant Hill. But also, Father, what you're going to do out into the future. We thank you, Lord, for that great name. We thank you for the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And Father, for the answer prayer. So many people, Lord, has offered up prayer, oh God, for so many people that's sick and on our prayer list and our prayer box. And Father, you've touched many different ways, and your name have been magnified and glorified in the sickness. And even those times, people of our church and community has lost of loved ones, Father. But even then, Lord, that your name has been glorified. And we want to thank you, Lord, that we can see Jesus and even our sickness and the time of our death and sorrow and difficulties. And know that you love us. And over again, you've told us in this book, Lord, that you are love and how much you love us. And we're here tonight because you love us so much. And to return that love, Father, we show it here. And each time that we're here and each time we come through those doors, Lord, it's a showing that we love you, Lord, and we appreciate what you've done and what you're going to do in our lives and how you protect us. Again, Father, there's so many that are sick, Lord. We just pray, God, that you reach down and touch them. And those, Father, that's lost, Father, we just pray a special blessing upon, Lord, the person who might reach them for Jesus Christ. Even here this night, I pray, God, you might put some lost person on some heart this hour, God, that they might love them to Jesus. And that's what it's all about. So we ask you, Lord, to help us to understand this great theme of love, because that's what you are. And we thank you more, Lord, than what we can express in words, because you loved us so much that you was willing to die for us. And all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we think about this little word, love, You know, navigators, they used to use a compass to direct their course across the water, either across the land. But why a compass? Well, you know, a compass responds magnetic to the field of the earth, and it always points to the north. That's the reason they use a compass. Compass responds to the nature of this earth and points north. Well, Christians or Christianity also, we respond to the nature of God, the same as a compass responds to the north or the nature of this earth. And the nature of God is what? God is love. And we should respond to that. But only if we're saved that we can respond to that love. Love is just being natural. It's natural of God. That's what he does, is love. A compass is not forced to point to the north, but neither are we forced to love. We ought to love because we want to love. It's just natural respond. It's like a natural respond for the compass to point to the north. It ought to be natural respond for Christians to love. Why? Because of God in us. Now, saved, sometimes, you know, they love things too, but people that are saved, the same thing. The natural thing is to love God if we're saved. You know, it's not forced on us. Nobody forced you to come to church tonight. You come because you love the Lord. And we appreciate that. We thank you. Now, if you don't love the Lord, now you got no business, you know, you wouldn't even come tonight. If you don't love the Lord. If you don't have the Lord in you, you wouldn't have been here. Lost people have no business at all coming to church. They got nothing in common with saved people. They don't know why we come on Wednesday night. There's people pass by that road all the time while we're here on Wednesday night and Sunday. They have no idea what we're doing in here. They don't respond to it. Why? They don't have the nature of God. If you had the nature of God, you know what? You'd want to be here. Well, we see this, and John says, God is spirit. He says God is love, but he says God is spirit. He's already went through this, that God's a spirit. What does it mean that God's a spirit? Well, that means, you know, that God is not limited to time nor space. God's not limited to flesh and blood. God is a spirit. He says God is light. What is light? That means that's the nature of God in his holiness. The holiest God, that he is light and there's no darkness in him. It's the holiness of God. But here in these verses of scripture, we're dealing with God is love. God is light. God is a spirit, but God is love. Love does not define God. God defines love. That song, I don't know if Squire Parsons sings or not. I remember the title of it, The Wonder of It All. Is that the name of it, Marshall? The Wonder of It All or something like that? And, you know, it talks about that God loved me. And the wonder of it all. Have you ever wondered that God loved you so much? Just wonder about that. That God loves you so very, very much. Jesus loved me, this I know. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. That's the reason I know that I'm loved. The Bible tells me so. You know, if we could grasp this tonight, that Jesus Christ, God, loves us so very much. Love is proclaimed in these scriptures. John gets deeper and deeper in his love. You know, he was the apostle of love. You know, he wrote the Gospel of John and this 1, 2, 3 John and then Revelation. But he is the gospel of love. I mean, he is the disciple of love. He keeps talking about love. In all of his books, he talks about love. Except Book of Revelation, we know what it says. But it seemed like John, is he's trying to explore this love. I thought a lot about this word love. And I lay abed at my night sometimes. I think about words in the Bible. Something comes to me, you know. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How you go and grow in grace? Well, the more that you know about God, the more that you're going to grow in grace because you realize what God's doing for you. Can you look back on your life and see what God has done for you? And about 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, you couldn't even imagine what God had done for you. But now when you look back on it, you can see how that you have grown in grace because you realize what God's done for you. We've grown in grace, and you've grown in that knowledge of what Christ, Jesus Christ, has done for us. But old John, he's kind of like this word love. He's trying to trace it down now, this word love. And you just like tracing down a little branch stream. A little branch stream. There one back of Jimmy Brown's house, a little branch. And that little branch, it runs down into the creek right by the Tower Bridges down there. And it runs into the creek. And the creek runs on down there to the head of the river. Ain't very big. But then that little Satilla River runs into the big Satilla River. And then the big Satilla River, little Satilla River, before they get out towards the ocean, they get bigger and bigger, don't it? And the record that you enter into the ocean and you see the vast space of the ocean. Well, old John's got to thinking about this thing, about trying to trace this back to love. And he thinks about that little stream that trickled into his heart at one time. That little branch of love that trickled into John's heart. Then as he began walking this road of love, and he began to see how it opened up into a creek, and then opened up into a river, and then it just opened up into the oceans of mercy. It just kept getting wider and wider and wider, until the borders it just stretched out over more than what he could really say. God himself, God is love. So we learn this, and this vast of this love. God is love. Something about the nature of God, that God is love. In these verses of Scripture, it tells us who God is. God's love. But it tells us also about the attitude towards this world. You know, if I was God, I'd be mad at some of these people in this world. In fact, I'd be mad at me sometimes. But y'all, now I tell you, I'd be like old John, you know, call down lightning on some of them. I'd want to zap some of these people. I ain't kidding you. If I was God, I would do some straightening out, wouldn't y'all? We think we would, wouldn't we? We'd make more of a mess out of it is now. But we just think, but you know what? God's not that way. You know, God loves the world of people. How in the world could he love those crazy people that wants to kill other people and everything? But he loves everybody. Now, this is a God of love we can't understand, but it's just the nature of our Father. You see, the nature of our Father. Love is proclaimed by the nature of our Father. You know, all the religions of the world, when this was written, all the religions even today, did not have a concept of their God's love in them. You remember Moloch in the Old Testament? You remember what they'd done to their children? He was a big old pot-bellied idol, brass, and they'd heat him up red hot, and they would throw their children into his apron and burn them alive to appease him. They didn't have, there's none of these gods that they ever worshipped ever was a god of love. This is a different concept of all of the gods of the world. That all these other gods, they had to be appeased some way or another. They had to be offered sacrifices to appease them. They was mad. If you didn't appease them, you know that you wouldn't make a good crop next year, or you'd get sick, or whatever god that you worship, all kind. But a god of love? They didn't have this concept, god of love. Christianity is the only god of love. The only god of love. For God is love. For love is of God. The source of love is God. Now, this world you and I know of does not know a great deal about love. This world you and I know of don't know a great deal about love. This world. Now, there's different types of love we know in the world. But this word love is thrown around pretty easy in that world that you and I live in, is it not? You take a man that proposes to a girl for marriage. She turns him down, and he kills her because he loves her. Y'all ever seen that on the news? Yeah. That's a strange type of love, is it not? How about a mother that loves her kids, but she drowns them in the bathtub? I love them. That's kind of a strange type of love in this world we're living in, would you not think? Strange type of love. Love is proclaimed by God, and it's a different type of love because of the nature of our Father, but also it's proclaimed by the nature of our family, because we in the family of God, the family of God. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God, in the family of God, and knoweth God. We're born of God in the family. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. That's the nature. That's the nature of our earthly family, is to know your father. Now, nowadays, you know what that means. Sometimes we're just like our fathers. You ever heard anybody say, where did this come from? He's a spitting image of his daddy. Y'all ever heard that? Every one of you's heard that. He's a spitting image of a daddy. Or she's just like her mama. You know, we've all said that. We all heard that so many times. In our regular physical family. That's the reason that I'm just like my father. That's the reason that I need to be born again. Because I'm just like my father, my earthly father. And I need to be born again. Because I need to be born twice. I was born the wrong time the first time, and I need to be born again. Romans 5 and 12. Because this, wherefore by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, that was old Adam, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's what old Adam done to me, and that's what old Adam done to you. We was born with a nature that knows how to do wrong. That sweet, innocent grandkids that us old people have, and great-grandkids, them little rascals got a spirit knowing how to do wrong. Did y'all know that? They don't have to be very old before they know how to do wrong. But when you're saved, God puts love in our heart. God changes us. And it moves you. It moves us to the point is that it ought to be that I don't care about anybody. And it should move us till I'm concerned about everybody. That should be the difference. Who are you concerned about? If it's changing, who are you concerned about? That's the way God does things. He changes us. Verse 7, everyone who loves knows God. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You know what that verse says? He's lost as a bat. You don't care about the love of the things that God, love what God loves? It says just as plain as it can be in the Word of God. A lot of people, church members, contradiction of the Word of God. It says they don't know God. That's what the scripture says. Many unsaved people now love their family. They love and even sacrifice for the family. I done the same thing. I thought I loved my family and I sacrificed for my family, for them. And I had an intellectual understanding of God. I always believed there was a God from long enough. I was old enough to believe there was a God, and I believed there was a God. Didn't y'all? Y'all every time when y'all didn't believe in a God, I always believed there was a God. When I was lost, I believed there was a God. I had an intellectual knowledge that there was a God. But I lacked the personal experience with Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, a lot of church members, they have an intellectual knowledge of God, but they lack the experience with Jesus Christ to bring a change in their life of love. Change in their life of love. Verse 8 again, and it says in verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Why? Because God love. Matthew 15:8 says, those honor me with their lips. Yes, yes, Lord, but their heart is far from me. Yeah, I know God. I've asked, Lord, yes, sir, I'm saved. Yes, sir, I know I'm going to heaven. Never, not a thing in the world in their life ever show you anything whatsoever. God is the judge that a person is saved. It's a test of salvation. Loving the things that God loves. God's in you. You're going to love the things that Jesus loved. Do I love the people of the world as I should love people of the world? Do you tonight? Do I love the things that God loves? And a Christian should become what God is. That's what it says. You'll become love. Because God is love. It also, it proves, his love is proved in these verses of Scripture there. Also in verse 9, it says, in this now, all he talked about was manifested the love of God towards us because that God sent his only begotten Son into this world that we might live through him. Look at this word there now, manifested. That means to make visible. He proved his love. He made it visible. God wrapped his love in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. It says God sent his only begotten Son two more times in these verses of Scripture. Verse 10 and verse 14 says the thing. God sent his Son. God sent his Son. God is love. Not only in words. God could have said, I love this world. But he'd never done anything in deeds toward to prove it. What type of God would it be? God loved this world, but not only in words, but he loved this world in deeds. That's the reason he sent his son, to prove true love is never stagnant. It's never inactive. That's another thing that the Word of God is in your heart. If a person is saved, it will never be inactive. God was never inactive. And if you have God, you will not be inactive. And it says he was never inactive. God is love. And it said, being that he is God of love, he sent his son to prove that. Love proved by Jesus Christ the Son. That's how he proved it. God did not send the holy angels to prove that God loved us. God did not send a legion of angels to me to prove to me that he loved me. God sent his son on Calvary cross to die for me. That's how God proved his love for me. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He sent his son. Babies are born in the world. Jesus Christ was born in this world, but he also was sent into this world. He was born and also sent. Creation of God proves the power of God. He spoke everything that we knew of and existed out of nothing. What's nothing? Just nothing? He just took nothing and made everything that you and I know of. The galaxy, the world, out of space, the sands on the seashore, all the little small things and all the big things. And all he did, he just spoke the word and out of nothing came everything. Now that's power, is it not? Now that's what he did. Whenever he created everything, he used his power. But when he sent his son to be born, wrapped his love around flesh, that proved his love. That proved his love. Love proved because God sent his son to be the propitiation. Propitiation, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son again to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a big old word, hard for me to pronounce it. That just means satisfaction. Satisfaction. It means atoning sacrifice. It means in the Old Testament, there was what in the tabernacle and also in the temple, there was a little cube box in the Holy of Holies called the mercy seat, a slab of gold called the mercy seat. None of the mercy seat was a broken laws, and y'all know other things was in the mercy seat, but it was a solid slab of gold, and that was where the sprinkling of blood was. But that's where God met with mankind. So anytime in the New Testament you see this word propitiation, you just put their mercy seat, and you know what it's talking about. Jesus Christ was your mercy seat because that's where you met God in Jesus Christ. That's what he done for you, the mercy seat. And Romans 3:25 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. Propitiation. It's something, what is that? That's something that God does to make it possible for mankind to be forgiven. See, because God's holiness could not meet with you and me. He was a holy God, but yet he desired. Can you imagine that? God desires your fellowship and your company. You bunch of sinful people, but yet God desires your fellowship. It's hard for me to imagine how God wants my fellowship. But he does. Why? Because he loved me. How could he have that fellowship? But holy God, I'm a sinful man. Mercy seat. He made it possible that I could be forgiven on Jesus Christ. If you want to know how much God loves you, you know what you need to do? A lot of times people maybe doubt the love of God. You need to look at a cross. You need to look at the cross. If you have wonders and doubt about God's love, you just go back and just gaze in your mind what Jesus Christ went through. And he didn't have to go through any of it. and all the suffering that Jesus Christ done. And he is saying to you personally, I love you. I know how you act and I know how you are. But I tell you what, I love you and I'm going to bring you to my Father. Oh, people, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve to be in fellowship with the Holy God. But I had a Savior named Jesus. And he lived on this earth and he was perfect. Never said an unkind word. Never thought a bad thought. And he went to the cross of Calvary, laid down his life. Nobody took it from him. And all that time and all the agony and pain and suffering he done, he went into the hell itself for me that I wouldn't have to go to hell. And all that time he says, Ivy, I love you and I want to bring you to my Father that you might have fellowship and worship him. That's good. Love proved by God's love. Verse 14, it says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, there's a doctrine going around today and been around for a long time. It's a doctrine of limited atonement. You hear it sometimes, you know what it means. It's a doctrine of limited atonement. That means that Jesus Christ only died for a few. You know, the same thing about election. God knows who's going to be saved because God only died for just a few. There's no such thing as limited atonement. He died for the sins of the world. 1 Timothy 4 and 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. The whole world. Potentially now the blood was powerful enough that Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary, potentially there enough to cleanse every sin that ever was sin on this world, from Adam and Eve to the last person takes our last breath, wherever long that might be, out into the millennium. Potentially, his blood was powerful enough to cover every sin. But when actually it didn't. But it says, especially for those that believe, those that accepted it. If you owe $1,000 a night, which probably none of you do, but if you owe $1,000 a night, and if I had $1,000, I don't have $1,000, I'll borrow one from Jimmy Brown if I can, and I put it in your bank account, and you don't write a check on it, it's not your gift. It just stays there. You have to draw from that account. It's there, it's yours, but if you don't draw from it, you're going to still owe $1,000. That's people, if you sin, Jesus Christ put it on your account of righteousness, but if you don't draw from that gift, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you'll still be in your sins. He died for the whole world. And it shows us now this love, how it's practiced there in verse 12. No man is seeing God at any time. If you love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. That word perfected there means to complete. It means to fill out that which is lacking. Let us love one another. But you see, there's some things lacking in our life. Verse 11 says, beloved, if we so love, we ought to also love another. If God so loves us, we ought to love one another. John 3:16, God so loved the world. God loved the world of people. But there's a lot of people in this world that you know don't know that God loves them. You really need to carry this to this world. Because you'll see a lot of people come to know Jesus Christ if you'll tell them how much God loves them. Some people don't feel loved. Maybe they have a bad family life, or maybe, you know what, they're just down in the dumps. Maybe they're just down and out. And, you know, maybe they may be on some type of narcotics or whatever it might be. But if you get to them and tell them that God loves them and show them Calvary's cross and keep telling them that God loves them, and it don't matter what they've done, don't matter what we've done, God still loves us. We could reach more people for Jesus Christ if we just perfect it. When we carry out that love, love is perfected in this lost world. Complete that love of God when we fill out that love, what's lacking. And if we practice this, it's perfected, but it's in a command for us to love. Can you imagine God commands us to love? You got two little kids in your family, you have to tell, all right, now I want you to love your sister. All right, you boys, don't you love one another now? It's amazing that we're saved and God has to command us to love one another. But he does. Well, because sometimes we're not very lovable. But the Gospel of John in 13, 34, and 35 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. All right, now by this, if you love one, by this, all men may know that you are my disciples if you have love to another. They'll know if you're saved or not, if you love one another. That's what they need to see. That's what the people need to see. We need to have, you need to have more people invite them to church. More people need to come. We need to have more visitors. And then they need to see that we love each other and also that we love them. That's what it's all about. The way this world finds out what God is like and God is love, God loves them, is the way that you act towards them. That's like someone come to this church here at the end and they say, well, that's not a very loving church. They find out the way God is loved by the way that you act towards people. We need to be very careful on this. Because some people are not very lovable, not easy to love. And you know what? In ourselves, we cannot love them. In ourselves, we cannot love them in ourselves. Now, how God takes care of this, he puts something in us that we can love. There's no such a thing that you can't love one another in Christ. I don't care who you are, you can love that person. You may not love that person's ways, but you can love that person. Why? Because what God has done for every one of us is saved. That's not easy. I know it's a challenge for me sometimes. I know it's a challenge for you to love me. Commandments are practiced, but there's also this communion. But let me read these verses of Scripture, verse 13 again. It says, now, whereby we know we dwell in him and him in us because he have given us of his Spirit. That's what he's done for us, that we might love as God tells us we ought to love. 1 John 3:24. It also tells us that. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he have given us. Colossians 1:4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. It showed up. It shows up if we love one another. And I really believe we do. Verse 15 to 16 now, this chapter we read in John. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. It all comes back, don't it? Comes back now to the proof of this communion. This communion is such a powerful word. 4 or 5 times these verses of Scripture mention the word dwell or abide. And that means to live in the atmosphere of love or fellowship. This communion, God wants our communion. You know, when Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden, it said that God walked with them and had fellowship with them. And then sin entered in, and that sin broke the fellowship with God. Then God had to shed the blood of animals to cover Adam and Eve, and that pointed to the cross so they might have fellowship again together. And so the key word at that time in Genesis was the word walk. It says he walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. It said he walked with Enoch. It said he walked with Abraham. And then when you get to the book of Exodus, there was a change came. From walking to dwelling. Remember, then they had to build a tabernacle and a temple. Before then, God walked in fellowship with them. But now, when that tabernacle was built, he dwelled with them. Can you imagine Israelites now that the Holy God coming in to dwell in this tent? It's called the Holy of Holies. And he dwelled there. Israel, then he moved on into the promised land in a temple. He dwelled there, but sin entered, and the glory of God had to part again. And then had a change from walking in fellowship and then dwelling in fellowship. And then whenever Jesus Christ came, John the Baptist baptized him, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ walked on the earth, died on the cross, went back to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit where? To live within us. It came from walking with us, dwelling with us, to entering and living in us because of fellowship. That's the reason that we have fellowship, that God is in us. And if anybody say they won't have fellowship with God, communion, to change, to love one another, not because something we ought to do, because something, you know, that we should do, because what's living in us. And not only that, it's something that you should want to do. Why? Because of having fellowship with God. If you can't have fellowship with, if you don't have fellowship with your brothers and sisters, and people are out of fellowship with their brothers and sisters, out of fellowship with the church, they are out of fellowship with God. Amen? That is correct. And they don't know what communion is all about. That's the reason that we have here the Lord's Supper. It says, remember what I've done for you just to have fellowship with you. The cross of Calvary is what I've done to have fellowship with you. Remember that. If we tell someone we love them, then God can walk in their lives if they understand this love. If we all go out of here tonight and be sure you tell at least one person this week between now and Sunday that God loves them, take them to Calvary, it'll make a change in your life. Make a change in your heart to understand this love. God loves us. God loves us. Hard to understand, isn't it? I don't understand it. But I appreciate it. And I enjoy it. The love of God. Let's love one another. Let's let the world know that we love one another. Let's invite more people than we've ever invited before. And those people that's fortunate enough to get some to come to church, you make a special effort to let that person know that you appreciate them being in the house of God and how you enjoy their presence here. And you know what? You need to get on the phone. You need to start calling tomorrow's visitation. You need to go around and visit people that's not here at church. It don't matter if they're saved or not. God still loves them. He loves you if you're lost. He loves you if you're saved. God loves you. And you ought to tell them that God loves them. Not long ago, I told a person this, that God loved them no matter what they've done. And I seen a tear come in his eye. Because it really gets to people that God loves you so much. You just think about what Christ done on Calvary. He loves you so much. We'll stand and be dismissed at this hour. We won't have a song or invitation, but we'll just stand and be dismissed.